Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You're listening to Blue Jays Nation Radio
with Cam Lewis and Tyler Yaremchuk,
a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts.
Welcome to episode 24 of Blue Jays Nation Radio. He's Cam Lewis. I'm Tyler Yaremchuk. Thanks for tuning in once again. Coombsy, win number 4 of the 37-game winning streak has been accomplished. First time this year, they've won 4 ball games in a row. Was nice to see him scoop up a couple from Baltimore.
Or from Miami.
Holy
Miami.
Shit.
They're playing Baltimore looking next. Ahead. And they just played Baltimore. Yeah. So it does kind of feel like this is a large Baltimore Orioles stretch. But no, we both talked before this and we thought, okay, the Jays should and very likely will pick up a 2-game sweep against the Marlins. And they did, because the Marlins aren't very good. They can't hit at all. They can't. Their lineup is completely decrepit. They have nobody. There isn't a single guy in that lineup where they come up to the plate and you're like, oh, it's this guy. Not a single guy. That is one of the saddest lineups you'll ever see. But they do have great pitching. And it was, because of it, a pretty boring series to watch, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, that's totally fair. You talked about their lineup. And aside from like Jazz Chisholm, who seems like a pretty exciting player and has a lot of potential, there were not a lot of guys where I was like, oh, damn, I like watching this guy when he's at the plate. And they didn't hit very well. And their pitching did a good job of shutting down the Blue Jays bats. And with that, we will tie in pretty quickly to 3 Up, 3 Down, presented by Twig and Berries. Twigandberries.ca, free shipping in Canada on orders $75 or more. Promo code NATION15 gets you 15% off. Let's start with the ups, because the Jays won back-to-back games and they're now on that 4-game winning streak. First one, Ross Stripling. Sticky stuff or no sticky stuff? This guy continued his heater. He went 6 innings, only allowing 2 hits, only allowing 1 earned run, striking out 7 and allowing 1 walk. We talked a lot of shit about this guy, and now we are eating our words, because he has put together solid start after solid start after solid start. It's huge.
It is. It's a huge game changer. I mean, I'm thrilled that we're completely pivoting on this. Now, the theme, you know, on the first bit of the season was every single episode, it was an automatic that Ross Stripling was in the downs, and we found a way to complain about him no matter what. Now he's got his new, you know, his new thing where he's, you know, holding his glove in a different way and he's not tipping his pitches quite as much. And now he's fantastic. And this is such a game changer for the starting rotation, because, you know, now you have Ross Stripling. He's a good, you know, number 3 pitcher. You don't necessarily maybe now have to go out and acquire that starting pitcher, and you can focus on different areas of need like the bullpen and, you know, getting those. It's kind of bizarre to call it an internal addition, but that's kind of what it is. Getting a guy back to performing the way you hope they would. It is almost like, you know, it's almost like making a midseason trade, kind of, because you basically turned a pumpkin into like a good pitcher.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned it there, like making a trade for the bullpen instead of acquiring a starter, or acquiring a starter and using Ross Stripling maybe as like a high leverage bullpen guy. If he can handle that, he has a history of coming out of the pen, and I know he's looked great in the rotation here, but it gives you plenty of options when you have arms that can be versatile and are pitching well. In his last 4, 5, 6 starts, he's only allowed more than 3 runs 1 time. And it's been a really, really impressive run from Ross Stripling. He's a major reason why they were able to win that first game of the series 2-1. Number 2, let's stick with the starting pitching, because Robbie Ray was pretty much equally as impressive. 4 hits over 6 innings, 1 earned run, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk. That Miami ballpark is big, and I did notice that a few times, that there were some fly balls that off the bat you were like, oof, that's gone. and it was just a flyout to like before the warning track. But Robbie Ray, once again, kept the ball in the ballpark for the most part and gave the Jays a solid outing.
Yeah, we talked about this a couple podcasts ago, and I said that Robbie Ray is the ace of the staff. And you disagreed, but I'm going to stand by that. I think Robbie Ray is the ace of the staff. I think he's their best pitcher. I think he is. He's Hazel May's got a tweet here saying, Robbie Ray's 11.49 Ks per nine innings is on pace to be the best in Blue Jays history among starting pitchers prior to the All-Star break. That's what I'm talking about. That's ace stuff. He's the ace of the staff.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. I mean, if it's a winner, if it's a winner take all game, I'm still probably putting Ryu in. But again, you can look at what Robbie Ray's done recently. And I mentioned the streak that Stripling was on, six straight outings where he hasn't given, or where he's only given up one, or I'm butchering this stat hard. In his last six outings, Ross Stripling had only given up more than three runs once. And it's the same for Robbie Ray. In his last six outings, he's only given up more than three runs once. It's really, really impressive stuff from both Robbie Ray and Ross Stripling. And the starting pitching really set them up nicely. Of course, close games for the Blue Jays in the last 2 weeks usually meant their bullpen found a way to blow it. But their bullpen did not blow it at all. In fact, their bullpen was tremendous. In game one, it was Chatwood, Tim Mizea, Jordan Romano. Three innings, one hit. In game two, it was Mizea, Chatwood, Romano. Three innings, one hit. A really, really good, it was perfect. It was a perfect little stretch from the Jays bullpen, and they needed that.
They did. Yeah, no, it was, part of me is kind of like, we kind of set off the hop here. You know, Miami's lineup is so bad, so bad. So I'm not willing to get excited and say, okay, the bullpen's safe. We've got three guys to bridge us from, you know, seven, eight, and nine yet.
No,
not comfortable with that just yet. I mean, it's encouraging, you know, Jordan Romano has been consistently good. That's great, but I'm not comfortable with Chatwood and Mizea just yet. Like, these are the Miami Marlins. We can't forget that. So don't want to be too much of a downer, but you know, bullpen's still a bit of a clusterfuck, I think. And you know, it is a positive, but I'm still a bit skeptical with the arms back there. And I do hope that this is something they address.
Yeah. I mean, every good outing they have moving forward, it'll feel like they're just running on fumes, and the nerves, I don't think will go away until they make some significant additions to it. And we'll talk about that potentially happening in a little bit here, because Mark Shapiro did a radio hit in Toronto and had some interesting things to say. But first, let's get to the downs. The first one, we were all very excited to see George Springer return to the lineup. It was fun to see him in a Jays uniform, but at the same time, he went 0-for-7 with a walk. Did pick up an RBI in game two.
Did.
So he had a solid at bat there. But 0-for-7 with a walk and one RBI. Great to see him back in the lineup, but I think we can agree a little bit disappointing at the plate from Springer.
Maybe the problem is he's batting fifth, right?
Yeah.
He likes batting leadoff. He likes being in that spot. So maybe you need to put him there and that'll give him the boost he needs. But no, it's not really surprising. Like, you know, it was exciting when Springer came back the first time and he was, you know, mashed a couple home runs. One was just an absolute rocket. I think they were in Dunedin at that time and he hit it and it looked like it went 700 feet. It was sick, but you know, if you're paying attention to his AAA numbers during his rehab assignment, wasn't really hitting down there either. So it's not overly surprising he didn't like hit the ground running, but yeah, maybe they'll throw him into the leadoff spot and he'll do well, or maybe they'll wait for him to heat up and then he goes in leadoff spot. Obviously there isn't that much reason to worry. The fact that he's been back for two games and hasn't gotten fucking injured yet is like a positive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not complaining at this point.
Just looking at it though, so Springer goes hitless against Miami, and then you look at Marcus Semien, who in his last three games is 1-for-15. Would you make the swap now? Would you swap Semien and Springer, or would you, like, I have a feeling they'll sit there and go, listen, we're on a four game winning streak, we're not changing much. Yeah. But you're also coming off a series where you only scored five runs in two games, and for the Blue Jays, they're used to scoring five runs per game, not five runs over two games. So would you make that change now, or would you wait until maybe the winning streak comes to an end and then make changes?
Well, geez, I don't know. Like, looking at who's hitting right now, you might want to put Reese McGuire in the leadoff spot. He's hitting everything. He's just hitting everything. So put him up there. No, I'm just, I wouldn't mess with success right now. I know everybody wants to see George Springer batting leadoff because it's, you know, yeah, it's a spot, right? Like, he's
I think eventually he's going to get back.
He'll get there. Yeah. But I don't know. Like, it is what it is. Like, I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference at this stage. Like, give him a minute to get acclimatized to Major League Baseball again, then put him back in leadoff. Like, yeah, you know, after the Baltimore series, maybe.
You mentioned Reese McGuire and his hot streak in the last three games. He is a combined 7-for-10. He's betting 700 over his last three games.
So his, I'm just looking right now. His OPS is now up to 790, and four games ago it was 642.
Yeah.
So he's put his OPS up 150 points in like four games. I swear he has like, he's got seven hits in his last three games. And I swear that's like half as many hits as the Jays catchers have all year.
Probably.
They have like 11 hits, and seven of them are Reese McGuire in the past three games.
Has he boosted his trade value?
That's a good question, actually.
Because like, no one wanted him, whatever it was.
He cleared waivers. He got DFA'd and he passed through, but I don't think he'd clear a DFA again. Like, he's a good enough defensive catcher that I was actually kind of shocked that he even got through the first time. Like, there's enough value in a 26-year-old guy who can catch well defensively. Then it was pretty bizarre that he got through, but I guess the cranking off in the parking lot thing maybe was off-putting to teams. I don't know.
Absolutely shouldn't be anymore. He also, you mentioned good defensive catcher. He should have been in probably one of our three ups, because he also made a great play throwing out Starling Marte in the first game as well to keep him out of scoring position in the ninth inning. So that was huge.
There was a lot of good defense in the second game. Vladdy made a whole bunch of good scoops at first base. Teoscar made a good catch in the outfield.
There was also the one ball that was thrown right at Vladdy's chest that just like went through his glove, and he like spent the next 5 minutes staring at his glove. Hilarious. All right, let's keep going with the downs. Nate Pearson hurt again on the 7-day IL. Same issue he had in spring training. It's just, again, an absolute nightmare of a season for Pearson.
Oh yeah. It's unfortunate, because it looked like he was kind of figuring it out at AAA. You know, he was his starts after coming back, and you know, he made his debut against the Astros, just had a horrible outing. Then he went down to AAA, had some, you know, was kind of up and down, had some good goes, some bad ones. But his last two starts, he was quite good. He only allowed a few hits, walks were down. It looked like he had turned a corner. Now here we are again, groin injury. It's the same thing he dealt with in spring training. You have to wonder if there's a bigger issue here. Like, I somebody mentioned on Twitter, I can't remember who it was, and I didn't save it, obviously, because, you know, why do that?
Why give people credit?
Why plan ahead? Why think? Mm-hmm. Somebody said, if you're getting, you know, groin injuries like this, maybe it's a symptom of a larger problem, like a hip injury. And now the Jays are apparently going for a fourth opinion for Pearson's issue to figure out what the fuck is going on. So that's a little bit worrying. But I think, to be completely honest with you, we're nearing a point where it seems pretty likely Pearson's not going to make an impact this season on the team.
Yeah, I think we're getting to the point where you can definitely say he's not going to be in the rotation. I think that's kind of been settled now.
Definitely.
I would still love to see him come back, even if this injury keeps him out for, let's say it's a month. I'd love to see him rehab the injury, come up and be 2015 Aaron Sanchez. I know we've made that comparable a handful of times, and it feels like every episode we find a way to compare this team to the 2015 Blue Jays, because that's the last time any of us were truly happy. But for real, like, I think Pearson can be an asset coming out.
It's just been a nightmare in life ever since.
Absolutely.
But I
think Pearson can be that guy. And whether you need an inning or two innings late in a big game, I think he's got the stuff to come in and quickly do that. We'll see. I mean, the injury thing is concerning. And hopefully, you know, a month from now, we're talking about, okay, Pearson has looked good for a few more appearances, and the Jays are talking about bringing him up. And hopefully we're not talking about, oh, Nate Pearson just had season-ending surgery on something. Like, that would just be brutal.
Gross.
The final down we have, we're going to move away from the Blue Jays forward, actually, because they won two straight games. We don't need to, you know, be too negative here. But Major League Baseball and this foreign substance crackdown is equal parts hilarious and embarrassing for the sport.
Yeah, it looks stupid. Like, it's one of those things, you know, Max Scherzer was getting worked up, and it's funny to see him do that. And then Sergio Romo had his theatrics, and he's, you know, throwing things around, and he's pulling out his hog or whatever he's doing. But, you know, it was funny the first couple of times it happens, but if this is a thing that happens every single game, it's going to be so annoying. You know, it's going to be, it's just going to be one of those like completely unnecessary distractions. That's just like, oh, this was funny theater the first time, but now it's just, oh God, like here we go again. But I get why they're doing it, I guess, but yeah, it's just another kind of very clear reminder of like where the sport is at, and the league and the players are at such odds with each other. And then you have the umpires in the mix and they love to make a show of themselves. And it's just like, man, you have three different parties here, all like pulling in different directions.
Yeah. The thing that really irritated me, like I understand if the umps want to check a pitcher as he's leaving the game. There was one game, and I'm forgetting which team it was, but a guy is getting like a standing ovation after a solid performance, crowds on their feet. He's walking off. And then the ump has to be like, hold up, pull down those pants, big boy. Let me see if you got any sticky stuff under your belt. Like, but the thing that irritated me was Joe Girardi, like requesting it. And to me, you need to have, and Major League Baseball kind of just like wagged their finger and said like, all right, managers, you better not take advantage of this and try to mess with guys. But they didn't outline any sort of punishment. And I think, you know, whether it's going, and I think it was former pitcher Dallas Braden who said, it was either him or Will Middlebrooks, I think one of the two former players that are active on Twitter. They came out and said that you should lose your challenge if you request a check and there's nothing there. I went a step further. I said, hit him in the wallet. Like, if a manager is wrong twice in a game about a pitcher, $5,000 fine. Once they're wrong three times in a season or five times in a season, whatever number you come up with, $20,000 fine, and really make them sit there and think twice so they're not just doing this for some kind of weird competitive advantage, which Girardi was clearly trying to do. Like, Max Scherzer was pitching well. He had already been checked a couple of times, and yet you want it to be done again to the guy. I just felt like that was unreasonable. And for a sport that desperately needs to speed up how quickly the game goes, this is absolutely an unnecessary thing to have in it.
It's just another one of those like annoying things. Like, the replay is so bad. Yeah. Like, it always just adds like this, you know, you get a sick double play and it's like, ah, fuck, we got to stand here now for 5 minutes to confirm that it was the right play. And now we need to, you know, midway through this guy just throwing an absolute gem, we got to pull him off to the side and make him pull down his pants and see if he's doing anything. And it's like, oh, this is just another one of those things, but welcome to baseball.
Speaking of reviews, the few seconds that followed the one review in game two of the J series, where the umpire really didn't know what he was doing. He was pointing to second, saying out, pointing to first, saying out, but then he realized he got it mixed up and like reversed both the calls and then had to like reverse them again. And then he had to go talk to both dugouts to be like, I mean, I'm assuming he went to both dugouts and was like, hey, I fucked up. Those signs were totally off. And like the runner at first was safe. Reviews can be an absolute pain in the ass. Better than the NBA's review system where the final 90 seconds of, but the final 90 seconds of an NBA game takes like 9 minutes to play. All right, let's keep moving on here. That was 3 Up, 3 Down brought to you by Twig and Berries. Worth mentioning here, Ross. Fuck, I keep saying
you keep calling him Ross Stripling. Are you going to say Ross Atkins?
I don't know, Cam. It's very early here in Edmonton. I'm recording this, you know, at a time when I'm usually sleeping. So, you know, if you're listening, cut me a little bit of slack. Mark Shapiro did a radio hit with the Fan 590 with Scott MacArthur. Anything meaningful come out of there? What'd you take from it?
There was something meaningful. Shapiro had a quote that'll make people probably happy. I would imagine people generally aren't happy, but this should make people happy. He says, I'm very confident we will add pieces to help us win. So that means the Blue Jays are probably going to be buyers of the trade deadline, which is not overly surprising. I know last week when they were losing all their games, we were talking about either them just standing pat and being like, this is a developmental year, or potentially trading away a Marcus Semien or Robbie Ray. But now they've won 4 games against terrible teams. We're all feeling very good and very excited. And Shapiro says, we're going to add some pieces probably. And what that means to me is they're going to acquire Max Scherzer. Specifically. That's what I think he's saying. I'm reading between the lines, but that's my opinion.
You took the first letter of the of the words in his second answer and they spelled out Max. And that's
he's giving us like some kind of anagram. There's like a secret hidden message like in binary code.
I know he's an executive and he's going to come out and say what needs to be said for good PR and all that. But it is encouraging to see him come out and say like, you know, we will improve this team, and not something like, well, we have to see where the team is at the deadline. There's a lot of baseball to play until then. Like, they clearly do. And they kind of showed this last year as well, when they went and got Taiwan Walker and Robbie Ray and loaded up a little bit at the deadline. Hopefully they go a little more harder than that this year, but it's nice to hear, to know they kind of have that buyer's mindset heading into this deadline, and they don't have like a wait and see approach. Like, they're clearly ready to make moves if a move is out there right now. And the one answer I did hear from Shapiro is he talked about how, you know, like, if you could see the notepads and the meetings and all of that, like, they're trying. There's just not a lot to do around the trade market right now. And that's something we kind of figured was the case for a while here. But regardless, nice to see that they have the mindset of buyers, and hopefully they can keep a little heater going here and they can become even more aggressive buyers.
Yeah, I think one thing about this front office is people tend to be critical. They're like, oh, you know, the Ross Atkins does his interviews and he says nothing. He says just PR talk. And then Shapiro comes on and just, you know, more PR talk. He says what people want to hear. But to be fair to them, like, in each offseason specifically, they've been very bluntly honest about what was going to happen. Like, when they took the payroll down and tore the team apart, that's what was said explicitly. Like, okay, like, we're rebuilding right now. The payroll's going down. And then, you know, the offseason they added Springer, both times it was, we're going to look to add significant players to the team. Yeah. And they did. So when Shapiro comes out and he says, I'm very confident we will add pieces to help us win, yeah, it's probably going to happen, because, you know, every time they've said in either direction what they were doing, it has happened. So that's a positive sign for us. I mean, I would have been shocked if they didn't add at the deadline, but
yeah,
you know, it's a nice affirmation.
100%. Let's move on and set up the upcoming series. It's 4 against the Baltimore Orioles. So a great chance here for the Toronto Blue Jays to keep their hot streak going. The Orioles, 6-14 in June, have just one win, though, in their last 14 games. It has been an ugly, ugly stretch here for the Baltimore Orioles. The Jays are going with Anthony Kay, Alek Manoah, Hyunjin Ryu, and Ross Stripling on the mound. And the Orioles will not send a starter to the bump who has an ERA lower than 5.8. So, you know, let's get the bats going here. Pick up the pace a little, because there's an opportunity to put up 10 runs a game against the Orioles.
Let's not have any expectations lower than a 4-game sweep here.
I don't think we should. Like, this Orioles team is not very good, and the Jays spotted them a win in the last series. And, you know, like, the Astros just completely rolled through this team. Like, I don't even think, just off memory, any of their games were close. The series finale certainly was, and it was 13-0.
Oh, wow.
Game two of the series between these two teams was 3-1. Okay, so that one was actually kind of close. And the first game of the series was 10-2. So they've lost their last three games to the Houston Astros by 25 runs combined. This team is not good, and the Jays need to, you know, put the pedal to the floor here, to use a cliche, and roll through them. I agree with you 100%. 4-game sweep is I'll be happy with 3 out of 4. I'll hop on this podcast on Monday and say good things if they win 3 out of 4, but man, it would be nice to go from a 4-game win streak to an 8-game win streak.
It would. That would put them at 41-35 near the end of June, which I think you're pretty happy with in general.
Yeah. 100%. I mentioned Alek Manoah getting the start in game 2 of this series. They said that on the broadcast. That's currently what MLB.com is saying as well. So he would have been thrown out. It was the second game. The Saturday game against the Orioles, which means
he can't be. No, he can start on Saturday again, because he'd be suspended for Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Those are his 5-game suspension.
Okay, then they're probably going to have to make a change. I was incredibly confused when the broadcast said it, but I thought maybe I had, you know, miscalculated things. But yeah, they have him on MLB.com is starting on Friday for the Jays. He did appeal the suspension. So maybe there's a chance it gets knocked down to like 4 games just in time for him to make a start. But we'll see. We'll change that starting rotation plan to TBD, I suppose.
Sure. We'll probably, if we don't see him in that game on Saturday, I would imagine we'd see him maybe on the Sunday game, if that's how that would work. I don't know.
They're not going to make him miss a start. They're not going to, the Jays aren't going to double down on Major League Baseball's punishment. And
it's just basically when you suspend a starting pitcher for 5 games, they're their star gets pushed back one day, it doesn't mean anything.
That's and they've had what it is. We were talking about this before, but they've had a day off. So yeah, if you wanted to even just swap him and Ryu, you could absolutely do that. And
it's
again,
a pointless thing to do. It's all you're doing is taking away 5 days worth of salary from him.
Yeah, that's a good point. Taking away 5 days of salary from a guy on his rookie contract.
Yeah, pretty. He's already
good one.
Yeah, it sucks. It's a shitty thing for MLB. It's a bit of a joke, but whatever. We don't need to get into that. We've already complained about it.
Yeah, we have. All right, we're going to wrap this episode up. It's a quick episode, but hey, they won 2 games against the Miami Marlins, who play in the most boring stadium in Major League Baseball. And they won the games by a combined score of 5-2. So I'm sorry, there's really not a lot to get to right now around the Toronto Blue Jays, but they've won 4 in a row, so we will absolutely take a little bit of boring baseball if it helps them out in the standings. We'll be back on Monday or Tuesday morning. I don't know when we're going to record, but we'll have an episode for you after the 4-game set against Baltimore. And hopefully we're talking about a Jays team that is on a significant heater at that point. Coombsy, we will talk then. You enjoy the weekend. You enjoy this series.
Sounds good. Best wishes.
Thanks for tuning in to Blue Jays Nation Radio. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.